Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with a Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And we're back. Michael Cohen here with producer Desi Simmons. Welcome back to the program. A new teacher tenure system has been signed into law by Governor Snyder, and while Republican lawmakers say that it's best for the children, teachers couldn't disagree more. To discuss the implications of the new system, I'm joined by Republican State Senator Phil Pavlov, who chairs the Senate Education Committee. Welcome to the show, Senator.
Hey, Michael. Good to be here.
Before I get to the particular objections the teachers have, the underlying reason for the changes comes down to the argument that the current tenure system allows ineffective teachers to remain in the classroom. What's the general estimate of the percentage of Michigan teachers that are likely in that category?
Well, if it's more than one, it's a problem. I mean, look, we're taking a look at these kind of reforms, and the idea is, do we have an opportunity to have the very best teacher in front of our students at a critical time in their life? And that's really what drove the initiative for the reform.
Now, teachers are obviously upset here. They're saying that there are a couple problems. One is an objective evaluation program is still not in place, and that may take several years to happen. Until that point, administrators have free rein to write any tenured teacher an unsatisfactory evaluation and put that teacher on the road to dismissal. How does the new teacher tenure law protect educators from this kind of action?
Well, we've been evaluating teachers in Michigan at least every 3 years. And going back to Race to the Top legislation that was passed, we now have to require our teachers to be evaluated annually. The evaluation isn't anything new that's in the state. What we did in this legislation is develop an evaluation system that's going to be objective and that's going to take care of some of those concerns. And we're going to form a governor's council to study the issue, and they'll report back to the legislature by April with their recommendations. And I'm going to make sure and see to it that all of the concerns are met in terms of fairly evaluating teachers. But keep in mind, this package also is evaluating principals at the same way as we are evaluating our superintendent. So I think that's part of the package that went unreported. We're not just going to hand over this power to a building principal without that same principal being judged by the very same criteria.
So are currently tenured teachers now at risk for dismissal based on their evaluations?
I wouldn't say so. I would say that the process that's going to unfold is now, rather than getting your tenure based on your seniority, going to get it based on your effectiveness in the classroom, and it's going to require that annual evaluation to be part of that. But we're also going to move toward, when we talk about being objective in our evaluation, we're going to use student growth in that 1 year as up to 50% of the evaluation. So if you have a student that's transferred from another district or had a very unfortunate circumstance in his year before, I think that the teacher should be penalized for that. What we want to be able to do is measure the amount of growth that student achieves during that time of the year with the teacher, and then also be able to calculate and figure in the other factors that have everything to do with performance in the classroom, and that would include attendance and some of the other issues that also need to be part of the conversation. So we're going to try to put together a system that's fair and equitable for everyone.
Well, that is one of the concerns about evaluating teachers on student performance. The reality is some students don't make any real effort to learn. And if that's the basis of the evaluation, shouldn't only students that have a 90% attendance record, complete 90% of their homework, and whose parents attend all open houses and conferences be included in such an evaluation?
Well, you know, we always are interested in new methods and new encouragement to get parents involved in their students' education. I think that's absolutely critical. But we also have to remember that we're paying $13 billion a year in the state for our K-12 education system. We got to get something out of it. And I just don't think to make a suggestion that a student doesn't want to learn. I mean, if that student is having a difficult time in a classroom, we want to be able to empower the teachers to be able to find a way to reach that student. And so you make the very best effort to address those concerns. And part of this legislation is the development of individual lesson plans for teachers and get this is designed to help the teachers achieve the growth that's necessary for our students. And unfortunately, the conversation's been tipped upside down as an attack to teachers, but good teachers that can perform in the classroom will always have a future in Michigan under this system.
Well, I mean, a typical teacher faces 30 or 40 students, let's say, in a classroom. And when you look at any particular student, isn't it often his or her parents that drive and motivate the education process rather than the teacher, especially when the students are focused on going to college and so on?
Well, I mean, our college path is one thing, but what we really need to be looking at is career readiness, whether that's career readiness through vocational training, any number of agriculture programs that are out there. So what we want to be able to do is give every bit of opportunity to our students to learn. And the fact that there could be bad teachers within the system probably is a reality. What we hope to do with this is that teachers that need a little bit of help can get the help that they need and become, you know, proficient in what they do, and the kids win.
What about teachers who work in failing districts with many students dropping out, a crumbling infrastructure? I mean, how can they be fairly evaluated based on student performance?
Well, I think if you measure growth objectively, and remember now that student is going to be with that teacher and in that environment for what we hope is a full year. But you and I both know that we have transient students that come and go that can't. All of those considerations have to be factored in. But I'm not one that believes that a student in a failing school district doesn't have an opportunity to learn. What I'm more interested in is finding out, why is that school failing? What is it that's causing that systemic failure in those schools? And in many cases, it's the way that the school is run, it's the system, and not necessarily the teachers.
Well, some would argue that money is an issue, too, that some schools just simply don't have the proper funding to provide programs of the caliber that other school districts have.
Well, programming is always, that's a conversation from district to district. What we're talking about is reading, math, and science. And, you know, when we know in the state of Michigan today that only 50% of our eighth graders are proficient at math and reading, we have a system that's in failure. And too many of those kids are trapped in a system that doesn't deliver the product they need. And maybe part of that is the teachers, maybe part of that is the administration, maybe part of that is the neighborhood. But doing nothing isn't the answer. And so, you know, we've got failing school legislation that was passed during Race to the Top to address some of those systemic failures. And, you know, this legislation is not intended to punish teachers.
Understood. State Senator Phil Pavlov, who also chairs the Senate Education Committee, thank you for joining me, Senator Pavlov.
Okay, Michael, thank you. Have a great night.
You too.